Come now, all you mangy dogs. Swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig, as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Avast, me hearties. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network, WPRPN. Live streaming today from under South Korea's vast, Molithian-clouded, yet only somewhat mosquito-less skies, you're listening to what we can only hope will be a completely cancer-free episode 65 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. I'm your host, as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Prepare to take a trip on the weird side this week as we interview walk-in and flying Rainbow Lasagna founder, Aurora. An abstract energy impulse in a human body, this Woodstock, New York artist and spiritual visionary claims to have walked in to her current female form in October of 2001, when the previous occupant purportedly died. For one who self-identifies as an interdimensional ambassador, Aurora's true nature is neither male nor female, but rather encompasses the totality of consciousness. Celebrating the birth of a new dimension, she regards herself as part of a cosmic collective of hyperspace beings with whom she is telepathically connected. Yes, indeed. It looks like what we've got cooking here on today's Robin Hood lunch menu, or perhaps dinner menu, I suppose, if you're out in the Western Hemisphere of North America and the like. Over here in Asia, it's definitely lunchtime. A little flying rainbow lasagna. That is, assuming that we have Aurora standing by.
I'm right here.
There we go. Perfect. So I think we're almost ready to board the Robin Hood. The way we typically do things here, and welcome. Thank you very much for making the effort. We know you're in a big period of transition at the moment, heading on down to the LA area for a bit of a sojourn visit. I'm not sure if that's going to be a permanent move or not, but pirate stories, usually how we kick things off and we take it from there, manage to board the Robin Hood. Anything up your sleeve?
The best pirate story that I can come up with is that, you know, coming into this body is kind of like climbing on board and the unlikely tool that I use in order to do this, you know, the flying rainbow lasagna, like the way a pirate in an unofficial way gets on board another vessel, but I, in an unofficial way, came on board this body. That's my best one that I've got.
Okay, well, are you managing to bring any plunder aboard the Robin Hood there? A little booty, perhaps?
There's plenty of rainbow booty. Have no fear.
Rainbow and spiritual booty, I think that just might work. We do actually, yeah, we appreciate the odd shaman or two taking the time to and effort to join us here, so that should be great. We've also got Corinne Wilson standing by. I think she's working on making her way up to the crow's nest. It might be kind of tricky. We're not really sure, though. It's her first time up there. So did you manage to make it all the way up there, Corinne?
I'm about halfway up. I can see the dark sea in front of me, and I feel kind of lonely up here. And I don't know why you send me up here only when it's raining.
Well, you are the first woman, too, to actually have the courage to make the climb. So I don't think a little bit of rain is going to hurt our rough and tumble pirate ladies. Not at all.
Well, you can imagine us dressed as Vestal virgins in white against the rain and the lightning.
Okay, well, let's see. Hey, you've got maybe some of the call upon some of those druidic powers that you seem to be able to manifest from time to time, and maybe work on transmuting and working with the powers of nature and seeing what how the weather might be able to change in our favor, perhaps.
Excellent. I will have a talk with Neptune. And I'm so excited about the guest tonight. She's wonderful. Aurora. I call her Princess Aurora. She does not know that.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind. Thank you so much, my dear.
Princess Aurora. Well, that works. Okay. Anything else that you'd like to add to things, Corinne, before we send you on your way? You're able to just kind of keep a lookout over atop the ship there for any sign of the Kraken or miscellaneous other trouble that might be coming
around. I'll be watching, but I do have one eye patched, but I have a third eye, so we're all good on that one.
Well, that's perfect. I think you got a few, it sounds like you got a few pirate jokes up your sleeve too, so the perfect fit, absolutely. Well, thank you for taking the time out of your day, Corinne. That's, of course, Corinne Wilson, a.k.a. Occult Priestess, who's joined us here today, helping to ride shotgun with episode 65, I guess is what it is here with Pirate Radio Podcasts. So, Aurora, you're no longer out in Woodstock, New York. I got my facts. No, I didn't get my facts quite straight there. When were you out in Woodstock?
Yeah, that is correct. And let me also say thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really delighted to be here. So I was in Woodstock about 3 years ago. You know, literally I relocated out here to California. And I hope I can say this, you know, openly on your show. I relocated out here so that I could have access to legal medical cannabis. And that is a big part of my life and something that I advocate for quite a lot.
Yes, in fact, that's something that we'd like to talk about here today, too. I'm not sure if you heard about it or not. Maybe now might be the time to get into it. Definitely don't want to let it just pass on by and forget about not having addressed it at all here over the course of our 90-minute or so discussion. Dennis Rodman recently made a trip to North Korea just the other day, in fact, and I've been busy as all hell. Sharing that content with various social media networks. I guess one of the things the people that have sponsored him are the Potcoin people. So a lot of people don't know this, but actually weed, of all the terrible things you hear about North Korea, the one bad thing you'll never hear is how they have to live under this oppressive, tyrannical pot prohibition regime. It's, you can smoke as much weed as you want, I guess, from the sounds of it. So they got a good thing going there. So you talk about, I don't know why they haven't thought of this before, but hopefully he's going there to pitch the dear leader on the idea of promoting a little bit of pot tourism and igniting or helping to stimulate at least a little bit of the North Korean and surrounding areas' economies. So, you know, free market kind of approach, I think that'd be really great. You got any thoughts on the matter? Did you hear about Rodman's trip?
I heard about Rodman's trip. I had no idea that it was connected in any way to cannabis. And I will tell you, I advocate that everyone should be allowed to grow it in their garden and juice it like a vegetable. Like it would, literally, this would transform the surface of Earth. Not only growing the plant, because the plant itself creates, you know, a very beneficial energy field, even if you're not ingesting it, but if you ingest the raw juice, it is anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, anti-seizure. There are no contraindications. An infant can drink it, an old person can drink it. And literally, if we want to fix the healthcare industry and make it so that people can actually be well, this is a major aspect of that. That if you could simply remove the laws that prohibit people from growing a plant in their garden and they can grow it and juice it like wheatgrass, people would use the hospital and pharmaceuticals much less. It would absolutely transform our economy.
That's the problem, though, and therein lies the rub, as it were, because of the vested interests who, you know, it challenges their stake in things. And it all comes down to a greed game, really. So we know this, you know, you're kind of, I guess, preaching to the converted. I know you're not really preaching, you're just sharing information, but I couldn't come up with a better way of putting things. But yeah, I get it. I think most of our listeners probably get it. But the, you know, the corporate military industrial complex, pharmaceutical, you know, these vested interests, once again, very fascistic sort of deal, unfortunately. So it's absurd and bizarre. Yeah, yeah, I totally get it. In fact, I just shared a link in the streaming, the YouTube chat area, of which, as it turns out, it looks like we're doing well today. We've got almost 10 people right off the bat actually listening to us. In fact, we do have 10 people now, so that's great. Welcome aboard, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. For those who weren't aware, we've got Aurora here with us today, the Flying Rainbow Lasagna. I've been thinking about this a little bit and trying not to get things confused with the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. There's just some kind of connection there that I'm surprised. Have they come after you for any kind of copyright infringement to this point?
No, we have not had any copyright issues. It's funny. Many people have said that to me. Are you affiliated with? I say, no, 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 no. It's a completely different thing. So I'm realizing, and this is also how you can start to understand, like, I'm a cultural outsider. I'm from another place. I had no idea how the phrase Flying Rainbow Lasagna would be interpreted or possibly misinterpreted. So I named this shape the Flying Rainbow Lasagna, not because of any association to the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster or any other Pastafarian religions or anything like that.
I have a lot in common with Princess Aurora. She's a walk-in, and I'm integrating my soul. So we have congruent things going on. I had visions of a light source on the left side of my head that actually looked like rainbow lasagna. And I looked it up on YouTube, and this is how I found her, because awesome. I was having a phenomenon. And actually, another friend of mine, Phil Harris, who runs Ancient Esoteric Facebook group that I love, he also had the rainbow lasagna, as we call it now, light phenomenon out of the left side of his periphery. And, you know, as a Buddhist, I was like, oh, well, maybe it's my rainbow light body, cool, because I'd never seen that before. But then listening to her work really opened my mind to all different kinds of dimensional reasons this could be happening. So please, Aurora.
This is really quite something. So you first heard about her when then exactly, Corinne? Was this just recently?
When I looked up, it's shaped like the pasta lasagna to me. That's how the light was taking form or shape. Yet it was a spectral, beautiful rainbow. It was impossible to ignore. And it stayed in my vision for like 3 days. And I believe that medical doctors can say, well, you can have a migraine that would cause this, and it would cause an aura effect. But that's the only place that we could research it into the medical field.
Was this experience just recently, or did it occur a while ago?
Within the past 2 years.
Oh, well, there you go. And isn't that interesting that, yeah, I mean, you were the first person that came to mind when I thought of somebody, you know, inviting someone to help ride shotgun and co-host today's presentation, that immediately I thought you two would make a pretty good fit. And in fact, you've recently even managed to hook up on Facebook, it looks like. So that's a decent start. In fact, she's heading off down to Los Angeles once again tomorrow. So who knows, might be coffee dates or something like that shaping up.
I would love to meet for coffee, Corinne, and I'm absolutely so amazed and gratified to hear that you first perceived the Flying Rainbow Lasagna internally, like as part of your own inner experience, and then looked it up and found it outside. And that is what the Flying Rainbow Lasagna is all about. It's a tool that combines the inside and the outside. So if we have this, you know, what has been called our inner world, quote unquote, of dreams and emotions and spirituality and energy. And then we have this bifurcation, this artificial separation with the world of the outside, hard-edged objects, other people and events in what we call physical reality. And the Flying Rainbow Lasagna is all about combining those two formerly divergent realms. Open source code for your DNA. And I literally mean that. Like, I have sent out the idea of the Flying Rainbow Lasagna since I created it in 2001, telepathically, genetically, you know, with my moving mouth parts, making artwork. And it's like throwing out a message in a bottle. You're on an island, you throw out this message, you don't know if other people are going to get it. And when I hear you say that you saw it internally, it's like people got the message. And then it is even more wonderful when people internalize it and make it part of their own experience and use it to reach their own, let's say highest potential that they have inside.
It's a, like a mechanism of the dimensions merging, because that's exactly what maybe the rainbow promise in general is, the rainbow promise of all of our lore, that one day the rainbows would meet and all of the promises from all the soul gardening we've been in, which is basically growing the soul through flesh, through lifetime after lifetime, that there would be some kind of great culmination where the dimensions would merge. And merging dimensions is such an interesting topic. So I'm going to let you go at that.
Hopi prophecy. You're both probably up to speed on that. Aurora, are you familiar with the what the Hopi have said of the rainbow tribe, I guess, is what they've talked about all those years ago?
Yes, yes. I think it was about a time when rainbow warriors would come and would unite everyone. That is very much along the lines of what Flying Rainbow Lasagna is. So I'll give a little bit of math talk, but not to send anybody away, because we ordinarily we have an energy field around us that is shaped like a torus or is toroidal or donut shaped. And actually our energy centers or chakras are shaped like two tori at 90 degree angles. These are like the basic building blocks or the foundation of what we have. It's like saying we have energetic organs, just like you have organs in your physical body. I've given this information in various different forums, and sometimes people think, oh, this is a control system that is meant to limit people. And I'm like, no, no, no. Learning about your inner organs, this is analogous to in the Dark Ages, when women did not necessarily know about the reproductive organs or about how intercourse led to pregnancy, and women were not empowered to have the pregnancies that they wanted to have. So right now, humanity is not empowered and have enough knowledge about their own higher faculties. The higher faculties, this is like your inner eye, your insight, and your crown chakra, the connection to the higher dimensional, less dense realm, that this is part of how we create reality. Quantum physics calls it the observership. You know, that through observership, we're actually looking at a sea of uncollapsed waveforms. But when we look at it and when we perceive it and when we interpret it with our system of interpretation, we take those potentials and we turn it into actual reality that we can experience. But the challenge is, everyone has been doing this like artists that are blindfolded. People are not in control of the creations that they make. It's like the women in the Dark Ages that didn't know how they got pregnant and then had, you know, sick, malnourished children. Because if you look around at the reality, at the world that we are all manifesting with our minds, it's a very imperfect world. So my solution to this is the Flying Rainbow Lasagna, which is a higher dimensional version of the torus. You take that same donut shape, that same torus, and you vibrate it very fast or make it oscillate very fast in a higher dimensional space. It creates this Flying Rainbow Lasagna shape. And this is the math talk now. Anytime you add an additional dimension, you add an additional degree of freedom. And that means you can have more movement. So humanity has been limited in our movement through time. We wake up in the morning and we can't jump directly to dinner. We can't jump directly to dinner in 1,000 years. We have to go through breakfast, then lunch, then dinner. And that's like being a little ant that is stuck to the surface of a two-dimensional leaf. But if we become multidimensional, we become like a butterfly. We develop the next highest dimension. A butterfly can fly around in the third dimension and can fly from flower to flower. So when we, Flying Rainbow Lasagna as a verb, we rearrange our energy fields, we rearrange our DNA, and we gain the capacity, an additional degree of freedom, to fly through time. That means we can fly with our mind to a far, far distant time in the future or deep antiquity or any place in between. And it's not necessarily a physical transferring of your body, but it is a connection through consciousness to various different timelines.
Yeah, I've long believed that myself, in the sense of, with this, I think you've talked about this a little bit too in some of your presentations, the concept of non-duality, in that in a flash, or I guess, you know, the blink of an eye, we can travel to the other side of the universe, really, or at least a part of us can, along the lines of consciousness, at least. But a couple quick things. One, Taurus, because I think is how you pronounced it. And usually when I think of Taurus, I think of, I guess that's a sign of the zodiac. Secondly, the female reproductive organs, definitely that was one of the first things. And I was hoping, and it wasn't just my overly perverted mind at play, or not, but when I saw the Flying Rainbow Lasagna shape that it immediately made me think of some sort of like a uterus, or I guess I'm not too up to speed on women's anatomy from a purely medical standpoint, but yeah, vulva, uterus, that sort of thing. So did you see the connections?
Listening to you about the first, you said spaghetti monster, and then now you're saying like the vulva. It's like you've made a god in a goddess form out of these two forms.
The flying spaghetti vulva.
I used to have a rather insouciant friend in Woodstock who jokingly called it the flying rainbow vagina. And I think that that's funny and apt. I mean, it does whatever. Like, there's a lot of art pieces that are pointy phallic pieces, you know, like that look like something sticking up into the sky. So I say we need a little bit of balance. We need some feminine donut shaped and lasagna shaped art pieces out there to balance out all of the phallic pointy pieces.
It's interesting because you do talk about rape as well on an archonic, I think that's the right word, on a kind of cosmic micro level, you know, these mind parasites or what have you. I guess a lot of people probably know them as the Archons. But can you go into that maybe a little more within the context of the female symbology? Is there a connection there? And, you know, and let's not forget, too, sometimes women are raping men. It doesn't happen that often, but, you know, it's from time to time. You want to maybe take it from there and see what we can help to maybe fill in a few of the blanks.
Yes, well, I would say that this planet that we're on was raped or violated horribly between 10 or 20,000 years ago. And, you know, I really think that rape has affected both genders equally. It is the sense of something has gone against a boundary, and that is devastating when that happens. And so humanity remembers this mythologically as the fall, quote unquote. In the Bible, it is the fall from grace, but it is also the fall of consciousness or the fall of Atlantis, that we had this antediluvian, sophisticated, worldwide culture that was telepathic and connected to the rest of the cosmos. And that what happened was there were genetic invaders that came to our planet, that we're not the first planet that was invaded. We are just the next one in the sequence in this solar system. It affected Mars. It affected Venus. It affected what is presently the asteroid belt, because it was vibrated out of existence between Mars and Jupiter. There used to be a planet there. So it's like saying if the solar system is a family, we have three family members that have been horribly raped and murdered, and now the rapist has come to our planet too. And this is pretty much the story of all of what is known as recorded human history over the past 6,000 years. That yes, the Archons is a good word for it, that these are genetic invaders and overlords of consciousness that reduced human functioning, that they diminished the way that the DNA and genetic structure of these bodies function, so that we lost our higher faculties. We don't have telepathy. We don't have the capacity to see the future. And I mean, if you just think about that, like if I designed a car that literally did not have a windshield and you couldn't see where you were driving, you'd say, Aurora, that is an asinine way to, you know, design a car. So, but our physical vehicles, like most people, if you ask them, is it normal to be able to see the future, or do you just go along blindly? Most people would say, oh no, I just go along blindly. That's like driving with no windshield. And it's totally not the design of our bodies. So we were intended to have an inner eye that is activated and is connected to our, you know, through our crown chakra to higher dimensional, less dense realms, that gives us insight and wisdom and guidance and allows us to effectively navigate the time field. And the time field is this sea of possibilities and probabilities that we are, that we have before us. So the main thing that I can tell you is that the time field is shaped like a vortex, and the boundaries of the vortex is, I call it the membrane of death. And that is where those Archons or overlords of consciousness, that's where they live. They live on the membrane between worlds. They are not technically alive. They don't have bodies. They can't eat food. They're not loving. They don't have a mouth that can eat love. So what they do is siphon energy off of people like you and I, organic multicellular beings that are submerged in the time stream and that do eat food and that can feel love. And again, this is just the horrible synopsis of recorded human history, that we've had mind parasites feeding off of us physically, and also those same mind parasites have set up social structures such as banking, religion, government, even language. Language is a virus. It's very ironic that we are here talking on the radio, using our flapping, moving mouth parts and the virus known as language in order to become more free. Because when we're sharing these ideas, we're essentially helping each other towards freedom. So it's very ironic. It's like, you know, using the tools of oppression in order to set each other free. But we're not supposed to have to use these laborious words to get across all these concepts. We're supposed to be able to speak through direct energy transmissions to one another's minds.
Which is the very thing that is said of extraterrestrials. In fact, people that have reported these ET contact experiences is that they've spoken to them telepathically rather than on a verbal basis. So speaking of which, well, I mean, we could take it down that route, or we could kind of back up and kind of just, you know, go over things. Well, we haven't really got into your background information, really, or bio, kind of the overview and how this whole walk-in experience occurred in the first place, who you were before you became Aurora, because I guess you weren't born Aurora, and you've actually, for many years, from the appearance of things at least, you've worked and developed a career in the field of art. Presumably, it seems to be going quite well. I'm not sure if you make the rounds through the California summer and festival circuits with the music festivals or what sort of gigs you've got on the go there. But why don't we just take it back things up to the point of where this walk-in experience actually occurred and who you were before then and how things have changed.
Thank you for asking. Thank you for giving me that opportunity. So basically, in 2001, this body that I'm presently in and the person that you, the ego structure that used to be in this body was attacked. And now I have to define terms. I many times I would say to people that I was attacked by occupiers of the interstices or by, you know, negative entities, because I learned when I first came here that if I told people that I was attacked by demons or by satanic beings, that there was a lot of heavy judgment and that that those vocabulary words were like emotional triggers. So there was a long time when I just said, oh yes, I was attacked by negative entities. But the real truth is that it was a literal satanic attack. And when I say satanic, I'm referring to a space race that uses technology. So there are lots of different space races. There are lots of different types of beings that aren't human living on Earth that are intelligent, that are out there. And a lot of them are so adept and so amazing that they don't require technology. Like, they don't have to have a clank clank metal spaceship to fly where they want to go. They go there. You know, they use energy. They use what would be considered spirituality or life force energy and consciousness. Like, they travel on wings of pure light. They're the stellar network. But there are beings that are not experts, that are not adept. They did not emanate themselves from the source on a bridge of love, and they have to compensate by using technology. If it were like grade school, they're like not even first graders. They're definitely not PhD candidates. These are very low-level entities, but their technology is effective. And much like Arthur C. Clarke has said, you know, any sophisticated technology that if you don't really know how it works, you might say this is magic. This otherworldly technology has been applied on our planet and has been known as dark magic. So dark magic is a hijacking of the time field. It is a way of taking and distorting timelines and DNA, because DNA is our connection from moment to moment. So when I say I was attacked by satanic beings, I mean these space races that use technology used a directed energy weapon at this body and this brain. And the intention was either, I think, to take over, like to, you know, like to do like a non-consensual, like body snatching thing, or to just destroy this body and so that the person would die and there it could not be a viable life anymore. And so in that experience, I said, I do not wish to become co-opted and become evil, and I do not wish to die. So that means I have to innovate and create something new. And the I, like I'm speaking now, who is I? I am usually not in a human body like this. I'm usually at a different scale, like a galactic scale. That's why I say I'm a galactic walk-in. I usually am an abstraction. I don't have a face and two arms and two legs. I'm usually part of a collective of consciousness. And when I say collective of consciousness, I got to be really careful, because I got to understand people have a negative connotation to the term hive mind. I don't come from a hive mind. It's not the Borg. It's not a totalitarian fascist state. It is much more like the advanced jazz band. So anyone who's in this collective they got to audition to be in there. They got to know the chords. They got to be adept in their own ways. And they also have to be individual innovators. Like, it's not like you lose your ability to make your own music when you join the band. You're in the band because you can make your own music. So all of that just to characterize where I, as Aurora, am coming from, because my value system also is unconditional love and freedom for everyone. And that's a big one, because in terms of space races, some space races might say, hey, I believe in freedom, but to like just freedom for me to oppress all of you, and then you cannot be free. That's not actual freedom. Freedom means it has to be 100%, because if there's a little sliver of slavery somewhere, that means that is affecting the entire music that the band is making. So I, as a galactic level entity, perceived a great injustice was happening in the death of this body. Not only was it a murder, and when it's a murder, that means it's like cutting the thread of the time field. It's like cutting a timeline, and it's artificial. And these satanic beings, what they do is they either rape and torture or murder a person, and that siphons off their life force energy. So it is a way of, like if you have a baseball that is flying on its trajectory and you act upon that baseball, then it's no longer flying in the same direction. You can actually siphon off the kinetic energy that movement was creating. Well, we are moving through time, and these beings that are satanic take that energy, momentum, and movement through time, and they either hijack it or distort it or siphon it off in order to run their big malevolent system. So all of that to say, I said, this is not cool, this is not fair, and I am coming up with a solution. And I spontaneously, in the moment, invented the shape that I call the Flying Rainbow Lasagna. And I named it lasagna because the edge of the shape reminds me of the curly edge of a lasagna noodle. And I understand, like, that's not a very serious sounding name, but it is a very profound topic, because, I mean, it's a very profound shape. It's a profound opportunity. That shape, I call it open source code. It's not just for me. It is a shape that can be used by anybody in order to achieve greater degrees of freedom. So I oscillated these genes, our DNA are like vibrating strings, like the strings inside of a piano. And I oscillated the DNA strings of this body and made it sing a new song. And that song meant that the body didn't have to die, and that I could inhabit this body as this level of consciousness, and that I could share the idea with everyone else here. That's why I'm here. That's why I did all this. And I know that's a lot of lasagna to digest.
A lot of fractal geometry is what it seems, on a cosmic, it could be some sort of like a cosmic archetype of sorts, I suppose, is kind of what you're maybe trying to share with us here. But on top of that, aren't there two spellings to the word lasagna? I think typically it ends in an A, from what I understand. You've got yours with an E. Is there a reason for that?
Yes, I used the alternative spelling, and I understand that's a little bit unusual, not to be confusing, but yeah, I feel it is right with the E on the end. It is an acceptable alternative spelling. I made sure to look that up before I, you know, started using that.
Okay. 12 people right now actually tuning in, listening live to today's presentation, episode 65 of Pirate Radio Podcasts with Aurora and her Flying Rainbow Lasagna presentation, breakdown of this revelation and the insights that she's had here via her walk-in experience back in 2001. Of course, Flying Rainbow Lasagna, not to be confused with the Church or the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Maybe even though Pirate Joe there with his hard science background, well, who knows? I'm not sure which would be more appealing to him. Probably the lad of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. He is somewhat into physics, though, as well, too. So maybe we could talk about that a little more on a more purely the level of physics, quantum physics and the like, here before too long. But once again, thanks everyone for joining us. If you do have any questions, be sure to share them with us there in the live streaming chat area. Quite a few comments. Oh, here we go. Here's a question from Mary Pia, in fact. Was she meditating when spiritually attacked? And that's one of the things, too, that I was hoping to, and I think probably others out there in the listening audience would like to get clear on, is where were you exactly when this psychic and spiritual attack occurred? This wasn't a physical rape, I don't think. It was more just, once again, along spiritual lines. But where were you, and can you just maybe go into that in a little more specific detail?
Yes, certainly. That was in my home, and it's correct. It was not a physical experience. I lay down on the couch for what I thought would be a nap, and it ended up being, you know, the end of that experience and the beginning of a new journey. Like, it was an 18-hour-long epic experience that literally felt like forever. And the memories of exactly what happened are very disjointed. It created an anoxic brain injury. So this is what I got to tell everyone about, and it's why I use medical cannabis. So the parts of this brain that I have right now were damaged or destroyed, and it was from not having enough oxygen going to certain areas. So it was similar to a stroke, but not the type of stroke where the blood vessels open up and bleed, you know, like make a clot. It's the type of stroke where blood vessels close down and then areas of the brain don't get enough oxygen. And at the same time that that was happening, I also had a kerosene heater that was creating all sorts of carbon monoxide because I could not get up from the couch in order to turn it off. So basically an anoxic brain injury is like, look, it was a literal death. People say maybe it was a near-death experience, but I have to tell you, it was a very real metabolic death, that this body didn't breathe and didn't have oxygen for a significant amount of time. And the Flying Rainbow Lasagna and other things, I would literally say, is a type of miracle that happened. And some of it came internally, like, you know, arose from within. And some of it was a connection to the divine, because I have to give some credit to the source of divine consciousness that at a certain point put a force field of grace around me. And if that hadn't have happened, the cells of the body would have died and would not have been able to have metabolic life in them. So the cells were held together by a force field so that I could vibrate them like a Flying Rainbow Lasagna. Even then, it took many years in order to be able to integrate into this body. There were a lot of neurological artifacts. The next day, after this epic battle, when I, as a warrior, was able to get up off the couch and be in this body, I did not have math skills. Like, I could not recognize I could not tell the difference between a number 3 and a number 8. They looked like hieroglyphics to me, and they also, like, the shape is very similar, and I couldn't distinguish between them. And I did not have math skills, and I was not articulate as I am now. Like, now if I want to choose a word, I can think, oh, I can think of that word and choose it. But I had a lot of difficulty choosing the right word and being able to, you know, make my mouth work and describe the experience. So it was many years of being able to integrate, like, physically to move this body, and then to regain or gain, as if for the first time, the capacity to understand numbers and to do math and to begin to, you know, be articulate and share my experiences with people. So it has been a very long journey. Here now, I've been here for 16 years, you know, I'm very put together, but in the beginning I was very like a puzzle pieces that did not fit together. So it's been a long journey to get myself fit together in a proper way.
Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. So it sounds like there was certain parts of your brain that were suddenly, well, there was some real trauma, it seems, that occurred, definitely. But then, as you say, you've managed to transition through this period of rebirth and regrowth and build things up to the point where you're using parts of your brain that you've never drawn upon prior to the incident. So that is quite interesting. Have you spoken to any medical professionals regarding your experience and your present state?
Oh, yes. I've had many different types of scans. I've had many different EEGs, you know, on different occasions in the hospital. So, yes, I've been dealing as an artifact or an after effect of this brain damage. I've been dealing with seizures. And so this is what I can say to other people. If you've had some injury to your body or some traumatic brain injury, it is really possible to recover. And like you were saying, even to move beyond it. Like, I do math now at a much higher level with my my shapes and my sculptures and my paintings than the previous ego that was in this body. Then, you know, she was just like kind of mediocre at math, but I'm really, really good at it. And yeah, it's because I have been able to transcend these difficulties, but I don't do it in the same way of like 1 + 1 = 2. I envision circles coming together, and I envision packets of 10. Like, I found a new way to do math that works for me. And so, you know, I figured out a way to do it. a big part of it is, I guess, rewiring. I rewired in a new way in order to do this. And also, can't say enough good things about CBD medicine. This is one of the cannabinoids or one of the healing components of the cannabis plant. And once I started to have access to that, like, this is the same type of medicine that helps really young, severely epileptic patients, and they, you know, they regain their capacity to speak or whatever. I went on a whole medical odyssey. I learned, first of all, I learned all about the medical industry on this planet and in this time and place. And these have been very good lessons because I know what needs to be fixed around here. Like, I have good ideas about how to fix things. So I learned all about pharmaceutical drugs and tried all sorts of different things to try to control the seizures. And they all were diminishing. They diminished my mentality. And then when I found out that I could use cannabis and it didn't diminish my mentality, that was literally life changing. So I speak about this very openly in order to, like, I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey of healing, just like we all are. And there are things that people can do to help themselves. And I am a big proponent of raw cannabis juice and CBD medicine. It's really good stuff.
CBD actually just recently became legal in South Korea. To what extent, I'm not too clear, although the wife and I did manage to get a couple of bottles of the quality didn't seem that great. We're going to maybe put in a new order with another company. But, yeah, we'd like to ourselves definitely look into that a little more and use it for our health maintenance and just general sense of well-being. So serotonin and acetylcholine is what Joe Emanon is talking about here in the YouTube chat area. I'm not sure, that some sort of these brain chemicals, I guess, is what he's referring to. Hypoxia, which is a term you might have heard of in the past. Mary Pia is, she seems to think it's some form of astral healing, which maybe you would concur with, perhaps. Just quickly, though, and then we can, I want to actually turn things back over and see how Corinne, a.k.a. Occult Priestess, is doing up there in the crow's nest just in a moment. But what was your name prior to being Aurora?
Well, it's interesting that you ask. And, you know, I usually don't speak about that publicly. I can do it. I can tell you about it. But it's, let me tell you this. Coming into this body and having this experience as Aurora has been very much like if you have a twin sister and everybody keeps on comparing you to your twin, but you're like, no, 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 I'm this person, not that person. So when I first got here, I spent a lot of time and energy just establishing myself and establishing my own identity and saying, no, I'm this person now, because, you know, of course, many people in my life didn't understand that there had been a profound change. Perhaps this is a good occasion. For many years, I didn't want to just keep on bringing up the person that used to be here and to allow her to rest in peace and to have, you know, to not keep ringing that bell, so to speak. But perhaps this is a good opportunity to speak well of her, because she was a good person who didn't deserve to die. Like, she was an innocent person that was being attacked and totally did not deserve it at all. And her name was Debbie.
Mm-hmm. Do people who knew you back when you were Debbie come into contact with them, probably still from time to time, old friends, and, well, who knows even how family members look upon this whole business. I'm sure you've got a few things to say to that, but do they still prefer to refer to you as Debbie? And I guess you've got to, you try in a maybe gentle and most polite way to set them straight and tell them that you prefer to be referred to as Aurora. How does that all work?
So there are only a couple of friendships that have managed to make the transition from people who knew Debbie to now people who know me as Aurora. It's kind of like a litmus test. From the moment that I came into this body, I've been very honest with everyone and said, look, this is what happened to me and this is who I am now. And some people simply could not wrap their brains around it or accept it or swallow that. So for some people, they just faded out of my life. But I do have a couple of friends that transitioned that were like high school friends or college friends. And I went back to a college reunion of people that, you know, knew the person who used to be here. And I told them about my life change and what had happened. And the people that could accept that have become my friends as the person that I am now. And in terms of family, family has been a huge challenge. Like, you know, I say this respectfully about the biological family that I'm connected to. It was very, like, because this body came from that family. However, it has been a big challenge for them. I think that's some of the hardest relationships, because I have to be authentic. I can't pretend to be someone else. I can't pretend to be their daughter or the person that who they knew. They had expectations of who their daughter would become and what kind of life they would have. And it has been a lot for them to accept. My personality is quite different from Debbie, and my approach to life and, you know, different in a good way. But that can be difficult for people that knew her to accept. So I'm sure you can understand, like, I've spent 16 years pretty much building bridges in order to try to have good, healthy relationships with family members. And again, some family members could make the transition and accept that I'm different, and some of them simply could not. So if they can't, I leave them their space and, you know, hold the door open, and maybe someday they'll change.
Exactly. Speaking of old friends and the like, I'm picking up through the cosmic ether here some psychic vibrations. There's a name coming to me here, Astro Lunachick. Does that name mean anything to you?
I don't think I know anybody who uses that handle.
Astro Lunachick. I see her in my mind.
That's my girl, you guys. That's my girl. She's my astrologer.
Yeah, and she's based out of Woodstock, which just happens to be one of the places you most recently called home as well, too, Aurora. So I'm not sure. I don't think we really got into that much there. But and Corinne, we did want to bring you back into the conversation here. Corinne, why don't, now that you're here, why don't we let you share a few thoughts? I'm sure you've been listening attentively and have a few ideas that you'd like to have listeners kind of just bounce off the listening audience and Aurora herself, of course, too. What are your thoughts on things up to this point?
I've always been highly impressed with Aurora's work, but this evening I think she's literally on fire. It's amazing. It was interesting when she was describing her walk and experience and how it was very necessary and there was no other way to survive the attack. I had a very similar experience. A lot of light workers, so to speak, come under this sort of attack or even born unto this kind of attack. And I, of course, had the sleep paralysis situation. But when I started waking up to my soul and my ego was slipping, the attacks became more physical. And I was put into psych wards because I was way too psychic, basically in the fifth dimension and not able to be in the third dimension very well for weeks at a time. They call it a kundalini awakening. At one time of high stress, the ceiling opened up in a vision, and an occultist who is past, her name is Dion Fortune, her soul came to me and said, I will walk in for you if this is what you need, because this is probably too much for you to handle. And at that point, I was given a choice. I could survive otherwise, not like Aurora. She couldn't survive otherwise. But I hung on to my flesh, and I said, no, this is my mission, and I need to carry it out. So I just went through the torture, as she speaks of the torture, and whatever form it took. But that was a storm that passed. Speaking of being in the crow's nest, it was a storm that passed, laddie.
All things must pass, according to George Harrison, but yeah, because he kind of knew the score, definitely. It's great to have you up there in the crow's nest, of course, today here, too, as well, helping to hold down the fort riding shotgun here on the Robin Hood. Have you had any subsequent attacks, then, reoccurring episodes, as it were, or incidents where you found yourself having to fend off these cosmic adversaries, Aurora?
Yeah, well, first I'd like to say to Corinne and what she just shared, thank you for sharing that. I'm happy that you were able to survive, and, you know, I'm amazed and impressed. It's not an easy thing to make it through, and so, yes, just giving you a lot of credit, and I mean, I know that there are after effects. If you have after effects, like, maybe that might be a good thing, because I feel like one of the benefits of going through something that is so difficult and profoundly challenging is you make it through the other side and then can help other people. Like, it can be very inspiring and good and can be a template for healing for others who might have been through something also. So, but yeah, I got to tell
you. My recent mantra, like song, I have this theory that God is my DJ and I hear God through music, is Kanye West's song called Stronger, and it's basically what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, plagiarizing Nietzsche, but I'll have to check that song out. I know you mentioned that in one of our earlier shows too, Corinne, so Yeah, sounds like it's definitely worth looking into.
So, and in terms of like being attacked, I get targeted a lot. And so it wasn't just that initial attack in 2001 that I've been pretty much targeted since then, because the Flying Rainbow Lasagna is such a profound tool for each one of us to use in order to be free. This is why I call it open source code. I don't keep it as my own proprietary thing or only for billionaires. I literally want everyone on this planet and the planet itself to do the Flying Rainbow Lasagna genetic dance. The more people that do this dance, the more we become free, the more those archons are disempowered, and the more we become empowered. So pretty much the most revolutionary, evolutionary, I want to say the word elovutionary, like love in the middle, the most elovutionary thing that we can do is to dance like Flying Rainbow Lasagnas. This is how we get free of the mind parasites, of the genetic limitations, of the social limitations that we're going under. You don't need an AK-47. You're not going to be free by blowing someone else's head off. You get to be free by rearranging your genes on a profound level. So this is why my work has been heavily suppressed. But since February of this year, I've been able to connect with people a lot better. Like literally, my YouTube videos used to get 10 hits if I was lucky. That was not by accident. There was a lot of dark magic that's been directed against me in order to try to prevent people from finding out about these concepts. But they can't prevent it. It's happening. So there, it's like the human mycelium. We could think about humanity as being connected in thought in the same way that mushrooms are connected via a mycelial network. And the idea of Flying Rainbow Lasagna is running through the human mycelium, and you can't stop it. I'm hearing stories of many different people and their own anecdotes of how they dance like a Flying Rainbow Lasagna and then achieve profound healing or rearrange reality, create new things in their life. Like, I'm hearing wonderful stories. So that's the best thing that anybody can possibly do is take the Flying Rainbow Lasagna, apply it to your own DNA, and achieve greater degrees of freedom.
And Aurora, you actually, I believe in one video, did talk about the whirling dervishes and how they make the same shape when they spin. And they're like mystics.
Yes. Oh, yes, exactly. Like the Flying Rainbow Lasagna is both a macroscopic dance we can do with our, you know, arms and legs and head and spine. And it's also a subcellular dance. The little vibrating strings of our DNA get to dance in a new way. So our DNA is the integument that ties us together from moment to moment. If it's 8:56 right now, I'm in a different body than I was in at 8:55. I literally, and we all did, had to transfer our consciousness from body to body. And we do that by making our DNA dance. And we die if our DNA does the wrong dance steps. Like, this is just, you know, the facts of life. We can live forever if our DNA does the right dance steps. And so Flying Rainbow Lasagna is one of these new types of dances that we can do in order to transcend. These limitations were put in by these overlords that want to keep humans running on the wheel. Keep on being incarnated, keep on dying, and keep on, like Groundhog's Day, the movie, over and over and over. And the way that we break free is Flying Rainbow Lasagna. This means it's like a pencil with an eraser that you can use to change your genetic code. And that means you're changing events in reality. You can not only erase out the idea of like, oh, developing cancer and, you know, write in instead vibrant health, but you can change events. If there's an event where you're going to smash into a brick wall with your car, you can erase out that event and write in a better event instead. And what if we could do that on a planetary scale? What if we can erase out the idea of babies being born with brain cancer, or children who have to eat out of a garbage dump because they're starving, or dogs that are skinned alive for some kind of dog meat festival? And we can instead replace it with everybody has enough to eat. People are educated and healthy. The environment and animals in the environment are treated in a way that is respectful.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of work being done now in the area of science has really done a lot to take steps and measures to address those sort of issues and problems. But if we could do the same or solve these matters through tapping into the realm of consciousness, that'd be great as well, of course, too. So can you give an example of how have you managed to solve any of these issues through consciousness? Or as you said, like others have supposedly, you know, testified or claimed that they've experienced these similar sort of things and managed to come up with positive results. What sort of testimonials can you provide?
Well, just in my own life experience, the areas of my brain where the math impulses are supposed to go through, there's a lot of fried up circuitry there. So instead of trying to drive through and finding dead ends, I jump up and over like a helicopter instead of a car. That's just one example. Like the way that I'm able to speak and move the right side of my body and do math is all because instead of trying to take the surface streets, which have dead ends in the neurological realm of my brain, I jump up and over. I use a higher dimensional transit system or highway system to get around the areas that are diminished. So here's another good example. It's hard to say. There's proof. Covalent bonding. So blah, blah, I got to organize my thoughts here. Let me talk instead about tardigrades. These are these little microscopic animals, also known as woolly bears. They are little tiny, tiny creatures, and they are extremely hardy. And they're hardy because, like, they can live in space, they can, you know, they can be frozen, they can be desiccated. They're extremely difficult to kill, and that's because when they get in a stressed out environment, they dry themselves out. And when they get completely desiccated, their DNA gets broken up into pieces, like puzzle pieces. And then when their environment is more suitable to life, they get rehydrated, but they don't put their DNA back together in the same format that it was. Sometimes they will do what is called lateral gene transfer. And that is when they say, oh, I like a little bit of that guy's genes over there. I'm going to weave it into what I got. And a friend of mine used this really good analogy. It's like a DJ mashup. You take your favorite song and the DJ puts in a few bars of Mozart or a few bars of Jimi Hendrix or whatever is your favorite song. So this is what these little tardigrades do. And this is what we each have as our potential, that you are who you are in this moment now. But let's say you can dance like Flying Rainbow Lasagna and you can take a little bit of inspiration from someone's genetic code who lived a billion years ago, or 10,000 years ago, or 1,000 years ago. And you can also take inspiration from descendants or beings who don't even live yet. So it is a dance across time where you can do a genetic mashup, taking the characteristics or tendencies that aren't available in your current time and place and applying it to your own existence. So I do this all the time. I do the dance called the Flying Rainbow Lasagna, and there's a whole way that I do it. You know, at first I do sun gazing, I do all these different things or fill up my energy centers, and then I connect with the stellar network. And by doing this, I'm able to get energy that I wouldn't be able to get if I was just doing a linear connection. And a part of this, I want to say, like, if we are going to become a sophisticated civilization again and connected to the rest of the galaxy, if we're only working with linear line of sight, like I send out a message and it's sent out like a radar beam or a light beam or a sound wave, then it will take a billion years before it gets to the person that can hear it. And then by the time they send a message back over the vast reaches of space, it'll take a billion years for me to hear it. I won't be here anymore. So for us to be able to have any kind of meaningful conversation with beings that live in far distant places or that are on a very distant time scale, we need to learn how to bend and fold time and space and consciousness. And very briefly, you were saying about science and what science on Earth is doing right now. Science is very limited because it's not prepared to deal with consciousness. It talks about the fabric of time and space, but it won't add in the element of consciousness because it is not yet quantified. How can we measure consciousness? How much does your consciousness weigh? How long is your consciousness? We can't answer these questions, so science won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. But consciousness is the key to all of this. It's the key to time travel. It's the key to real star travel, not in a clank-clank metal spaceship. And it is also the key to vitality and immortality and, you know, profound healing on an inner level.
You're totally bang on there, of course, with respect to science and the way that it demands that phenomenon be measured and quantified and everything classified, categorized, and put in its own neat little box. Another reason why things of the paranormal or occult, of a supernatural nature, slip entirely through the grasp of conventional scientific methods. These things cannot be repeated, you know, in the same sort of manner as how they initially occurred. Every experience seems to be very unique in its own way. And I guess, yeah, you can take steps to try to copy and emulate, but there's also times where these things with, once again, with supernatural, paranormal phenomenon, where they are just very much in the moment and never to be seen or occur again. And then, of course, you know, when you bring into the picture this whole business of interdimensional or multi-dimensional scenarios, that's where I think where we kind of verge more and tap into what you're kind of getting at here, perhaps as far as this whole business of consciousness is concerned.
We're living in the world of form, yet people like Aurora and I are working mostly on the soul. So we have a different perspective of many levels of reality. And the way that I get fed or rewarded in this work doesn't really show up physically in my life too much. I was never a believer in the secret, you know, and that if you believe it, it'll work. Because to me, that's very egoic. I'm on a spiritual path following guidance from a higher realm, like a Greek hero or something like that. So it's not about what I'm getting materially or, you know, how I'm seen in the world. It's really, it's kind of a hermit thing at this point, but it's an inner success, if you can imagine that.
I'm sorry, it's an, you said an inner sense? Inner experience?
An inner success. Your soul feels successful and your soul rich. And
growth.
You feel up.
Yeah, yeah. I guess evolution of the soul, growth, awakening to some degree, to some extent, further along the spiritual path is what it would seem. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but Joel Emanon is just saying here that Carla actually has. I'm not sure if they're actually married or not, but they're domestic partners, living together in common for quite a few years now. But she's actually awake. She listens with Joe to a lot of the shows that we put together here and stream live over YouTube. He says that she's actually enjoying the show. Unreal. So that's great. That's a positive change and a step in the right direction there. Sun gazing, according to Mary Pia, is the best way to decalcify the pineal gland. There's a specific method. Joe, what is it? Oh, his wife is Carla saying, ooh, that makes sense. He can't explain Schrodinger's cat to her. Do you know anything about Schrodinger's cat, Aurora?
Yes, let me first just talk about the secret and that we are in a distorted time field. So things like the secret or, you know, like just think and grow abundant, things like that, it is very simplistic and it doesn't work because we're not in a realm of perfect mirrors. We're in a distorted funhouse where the mirrors are convex and concave. So we can be sending out love and positivity and all of the right things, and sometimes it doesn't get reflected back, and sometimes it is reflected back in a diminished state or late. And this is also how we can understand how come people who can be complete idiots and, you know, like douchebags, like can become billionaires, you know, shouldn't they all be killed instantaneously and be bitch slapped by the cosmos? And the answer is right now on this planet, we're in a distorted time field where some people are utilizing the distortive time field technology, dark magic, in order to get rich and be famous and escape the consequences of their actions for as long as they possibly can. But the good news is, I'll tell you that we are coming to the end of that level of distortion. Like right now, when I say all these things, I mean literally right now, not in a couple of years or in a couple of decades. Everyone is starting to receive what they're actually supposed to receive, because we're in an inverted world where the people that are really the good musicians aren't getting gigs, and the worst musicians are on stage singing with auto-tune. It's completely backwards. So we're now coming into the time where the good musicians are going to start to get gigs, and the big pop stars that can't even sing and have to use auto-tune lose their jobs and no one buys their records and they have nothing. And so people like Corinne, or, you know, people who have been doing it for all the right reasons and doing their spiritual work for all the right reasons, are going to begin to experience, reward and success on the physical level. I'm happy to be able to tell that, but we had to fix the distorted mirrors. That's what's going on. Should I go on to Schrodinger's cat?
Sure, absolutely.
Very good, very good. So this is the idea that we actually exist in a world of uncollapsed waveforms. I like to say it's like being in a sea of cake batter. We're just in this swimmy, amorphous, like it's like blobby stuff. But we have ovens in front of our eyes. And the ovens, wherever we look, cooks the cake batter and turns it into solid matter that we can actually perceive and eat and interact with. That we are observers, and the action of observership literally creates the reality around us. So when I used that analogy of the women in the dark ages that didn't know about getting pregnant and having babies, humans right now, are in a type of dark age. Humans don't understand that we are the artists of our own reality. We have the paintbrush of our minds, and we are using that paintbrush to create the world around us through perception and observership. However, it is uncontrolled. These are a lot of blind artists are painting, or a lot of people aren't even in control of their own arm. It's like painting with a spastic limb, and someone else, some occupier of the interstice, some archon, some, you know, overlord of consciousness is making you move your paintbrush and make ugly things. So what I propose is that we all become virtuosos. We all become, first of all, we need to take radical self-responsibility. That means I say in my life, on my paintings, if you ever look at my paintings, my artwork, I take responsibility for all of my brush strokes. Like if something is there, I put it there intentionally. It didn't just drip there or blob there. Like I put it there. And if something drips or blobs that I don't want to be there, I scrape it off or sand it off or paint it over. And this is what we need to be like in our lives. If I say, you know something, I don't really like it, that babies are born with brain cancer. We're painting on a mural here. Like human society is a collaborative, you know, creative effort. So it's not just me. But I say, I want to take responsibility for whatever thought forms I am emitting that are contributing to that kid being born with brain cancer. Or any of the, I use that as the, you know, example of ultimate injustice, any of the ultimate injustices that are here. We don't have to simply accept them as like, oh, that's just normal. That's just the way it is. We can actually use the power of the paintbrushes in our minds to paint a better reality.
Do you feel that you're responsible for children being born with brain cancer? And I think you've made it clear that you feel that and believe that you can change that. And that if we all work together collectively, yes, focused on doing that, that children would no longer be born with brain cancer. So, but you feel like, yeah, we're responsible for that happening, or is that just how nature is designed?
It's not just nature, definitely, because children born with brain cancer is from parental exposure to glyphosate or Roundup, and this is not a normal thing, and this has not been going on. It's happening within the past 1 or 150 years, and that is not normal at all. So I can't take total responsibility for it because I'm not the only person with a paintbrush. We're working on like a collective collaborative mural that is called the surface of Earth and human society. So many, many minds are painting this reality, or like we're in a symphony and there are many different voices singing and I'm just one of those voices. So I can take radical self-responsibility for my own body, my own state of health in my own body, and, you know, responsibility for my own home and the people that I directly interact with. And then I can take levels or degrees of responsibility for the things that are larger, like what's happening in terms of politics, what's happening in terms of environmental degradation. I'm here, I'm thinking, I'm a part of all of this, but I'm not the only person. So if we all are musicians making this collaborative artwork or music piece, we all need to tune up our instruments. We all need to start playing on the beat. We need to tighten up. We need to actually play together much, much better.
There's no doubt that we all need to take personal responsibility for our lives, actions, words. Consciousness is a little more subtle, though, of course, too, in that when we do have thoughts that do arise, there's no need to necessarily grasp onto these, some of them very, you know, I know in my own personal experience, at least, very strange, sometimes odd, some people might say crazy or what have you, definitely, you know, undesirable, maybe even dark from time to time. But it's, I think really what it comes down to is whether or not we choose to feed the thoughts or to take some sort of action on a spiritual level. I prefer myself, my technique is a sword of sorts, which I like to look upon as a sword of wisdom, and just slash through all this nonsense and tell it basically to get lost. It's not welcome here, you know, go away. So I'm not sure if that's the same sort of method or technique or effect that your flying rainbow lasagna has when you bring that into the picture. But anything to say to that? Any thoughts just in response to what laid out there?
Absolutely. Thank you. There are all sorts of different tools in the toolbox. So a sword of truth and a sword of wisdom can be very effective. And the flying rainbow lasagna is a tool in and of itself. It's not like you only get to have one tool. You can use the Merkaba. This means light body vessel. This is the star tetrahedron shape. And it can be used as a personal shield and also a personal a vehicle. I bring that up just to say that like your paintbrush of your mind. I don't tell anyone else what they are allowed to paint with their mind. Like, you can paint lots of different types of things with your mind. So yeah, the Flying Rainbow Lasagna is like each person applies it in their own way. Each person has their own unique set of fingerprints and their own unique genetic code. It would not be correct for me to tell you, oh, you have to do it exactly like me. Like, no. Each person takes that concept and then runs with it and applies it to their own life. So here's one example for a person that I know that I taught the concept to, and they now have applied Flying Rainbow Lasagna to their own daily experience, and they do the Flying Rainbow Lasagna dance while they do their exercise. They found that they were being affected by certain songs from their past, that it had negative connotations, like maybe even some MK Ultra mind control type of associations. And they found that by doing the Flying Rainbow Lasagna, they were able to do retrieval of stranded temporal selves, to jump into the timelines where aspects of themselves had been fractured and recollect or rescue those aspects of self and kind of like amorphously blob them back, you know, like back onto this timeline, like, you know, scoot them back over here where they belong. And in so doing, remove the emotional triggers or sensitivities from those particular songs. It's like a tool that can be applied in many different ways. And I was so happy when I heard that person tell me about their experience, because I've never used the tool in that way. They took the paintbrush and they painted their own painting with it. And that's what this is all about. Like, I'm here to offer a new opportunity to embody humans, but not to be a dictator and tell you, you must paint like this. Like, no. This is all about fostering freedom as much as possible.
Have you seen this shape in any other cultures or periods of history, artwork or the like?
No, I have not seen any examples of the Flying Rainbow Lasagna, or we could call it like a type of hyper torus, in any other places. Like, I like to say, if you're familiar with what a tesseract is, a cube turns into a tesseract when you add another dimension and another degree of freedom, and a torus becomes a hyper torus or a Flying Rainbow Lasagna. And no, I've really not seen any evidence of it. I have to take the credit for being the first person that ever thought of this thought, but I like to say I'm the first but not the only, and I really like for other people to do it themselves.
Have you trademarked it?
It is not trademarked. It is like I have evidences of my original artwork so that people know that I'm the originator. Like, that was important to me. I don't want to own the shape. I want it to be a free shape, like open source code that other people have access to. I would like to have the recognition or the credit as the originator of it. So yes, it's published and I have been presented in galleries so that I have the evidence. If anyone else ever came along and said, oh, I'm actually the person that invented this, I could say, no, I actually have this evidence here. I'm the person that created this.
I spoke to a lawyer from California a while ago, actually. We were in the startup stages of our Pirate Radio podcast project. And what he said was, all a person really has to do is, you're just going around like a dog peeing on a tree. Just leaving your mark, essentially. You can, you know, put the little TM thing there if you want. I know you've said that you want to take a more kind of open source approach, which is great. But just for anyone listening, if they are curious, that's really all that's needed is just, you know, it's like a poor man's kind of copyright almost. Same thing, I think, with a lot of music, even when people are out playing coffee houses or touring around, that sort of thing, just to make sure that enough people do hear it, that they can, if in the event that things come down to a legal case of some sorts, that you can have witnesses on hand to testify on your behalf. So Kathy from ISS giving you a bit of a shout out there from the YouTube chat area. You know who Kathy from ISS is, Aurora?
I certainly do. It's a reference to a Facebook online group called Inner Spaceship that I'm active on. So I say hello right back, and I hope this is a good opportunity for me to give a shout out to Carol Sloan if she's out there listening. And I thank you so much for introducing me to this radio program and connecting me to the Pirate Radio so that I can be here.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm not sure if we did. Geez, maybe that just totally went over my head, but definitely a big thanks to Carol for doing that very thing. So without her, we would not have been able to have put this show together. She does receive full co-production credits. So, yeah, some definitely some good karma coming her way. Let's see what else we've got here. Some streaming issues, I guess, a couple people talking about now, but things are rolling along here quite nicely as far as everything goes. Have you, speaking of spaceships and the like, have you yourself ever seen a UFO or had any kind of what you would claim to be ET, extraterrestrial contact?
Thank you for that question. As I've been here, I have had to keep a low profile. Like when I first came here, I didn't necessarily tell everyone that I'm a galactic walk-in, and I tried to just integrate with human society, and I did not use my telepathy in order to try to draw in lights in the sky or anything like that. So my answer is no, I have been a very good girl, and I have not called in any fleets or done any. Ask for any light shows or anything like that. I am certain that they will appear when the time is right. And I'm speaking here now not about clank metal technology using extraterrestrials, but there are true beings that do not require any type of technology in order to transfer their consciousnesses from different times to different places. And I'm certain that they will reveal themselves when they wish.
You claim to be something then, and this is part of your kind of your biographical synopsis, a galactic ambassador, I think is the way things are phrased. What then essentially does that entail?
I'm happy to do this also. The value system that I represent and that I come from is what I'm trying to behaviorally embody and display to people. Like, I hope that people understand when they interact with me and they can feel and they can sense that I'm a loving person and that I'm interested in freedom. And that when I say freedom, what I mean is I don't want to take slaves or be a guru that owns other people or that requires disciples or devotees. Nothing like that at all. I'm really an artist and I'm looking for other artists to collaborate with, or like being a jazz musician. Jazz musicians, they come up with their own innovative ditties and melodies. Like, if you're a jazz musician, someone else doesn't tell you what to do. You know what to do. The ambassadorship is pretty much like trying to portray to humanity the idea of the value system of beings that you would wish to interact with. Because there's a lot of slave takers. There's a lot of beings that have, I would say, minimal ethics or no ethics. They're like older kids on the playground. If you're a kindergartner, they have no problem with coming over and stealing your milk money. And they'll be like, hi, I'm a god, worship me. And that is not cool. And they'll be like, hi, come into my fake virtual reality heaven. And that's not cool either. So the ambassadorship is to be here and to tell humans, like, this is the value system that I would wish for you to look for and interact with. Unconditional love and freedom for all. Think about this. Humanity has been genetically programmed to feel inherently diminished, inherently like losers, but you're not losers. Humans are wonderful, amazing, magical, adept creatures that have been genetically modified and are now living in a domesticated state, much like wolves have been domesticated into dogs, like a golden retriever. And a golden retriever is not like a fearsome wolf running around in the woods. It's a totally different animal. So what humans are right now, they have been told that they are inept and they don't know how to do things and they should have some kind of external authority figure like mommy or daddy or Jesus or the president or someone telling them what to do. And I'm really trying to encourage people to find their own inner connection to the divine source of consciousness, to find the music within, like not to listen to an external authority figure, but to connect themselves through tools like the Flying Rainbow Lasagna or whatever inner tool you use for meditation and spirituality, to become your own divine leader and not to follow anyone else.
We pirates here on the Robin Hood are very much advocates of personal autonomy as well. The word autonomy, of course, simply meaning self-naming. And I think myself personally, I concur very much with a lot of what, you know, just what you've stated here just over the last few moments, as well as, you know, many of the different issues and points you've made over the course of today's discussion. We've got about just a few more minutes here left to go with the main event. We've got an after show coming up too, of course, the Rogues Gallery premium portion to today's event and discussion. So that, of course, is for available for all Patreon subscribers. People can download that portion of things. Usually a lot of fun, a lot of different sort of offbeat, sort of spontaneous conversation and issues coming to the fore. So you've got a podcast here too, let's not forget, as well as a Flying Rainbow Lasagna website. I guess it's flyingrainbowlasagna.com. But if you could just talk a little bit more about both, including the art that you've got there for the public to see, that would be really great. Your homepage as well as the podcast that you present, I guess it's on a weekly basis.
Yes, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to tell everyone. The best way to find my creative expressions and my work is Flying Rainbow Lasagna, lasagna with an E on the end, .com. And it's easy to find me from there. Facebook, Twitter, I have a YouTube extensive channel that's channel Flying Rainbow Lasagna. And I do a webinar series that is called Lessons for Full Spectrum Humans, where there are recorded lessons that are like these half hour lessons with a whiteboard. And then I do live webinars where everyone who's listened to the recorded lessons gets to hear about the concepts. And so the Flying Rainbow Lasagna, we're here on the radio. It's really wonderful, but it's so much better when you can actually see the diagrams that I'm drawing, and actually I think we're very visually oriented, so it's easier to understand the timelines when I actually draw them. So yeah, I encourage everyone to please check that out. And I also do a weekly, like an audio show that is similar to this, that is called Birth of a New Dimension. And you can also find that easily by clicking through from my website. If you would like to do a search, it's on ucy.tv. So all of these are good ways, I joke, to lasagna-fy yourself, like to expose yourself to this new dance and learn the dance steps and learn the music and start to dance the cosmic dance party.
Lasagna-fy ourselves. That's, you know, I don't mean to degrade what you're presenting here by any means, but we recently actually put a group together over on minds.com. It's a platform perhaps you have not yet heard of, but you might want to look into here at some point. It's one of the places that a lot of the people who do tune into our show here and download what we package and put together every week, they like to, a lot of them find themselves quite active over on minds.com. But it's a group that we put together recently called Spoof Religions. So, you know, like I said, don't want to like be too dismissive of what you're unpacking here for us today, but almost, there's a little bit of, because there's a bit of playfulness for sure is what it would seem. And I'm not sure how, it seems like you do take yourself seriously, but at the same time, 10% spoof and 90% kind of, I mean, how would you break things down from a percentage standpoint?
I'm 100% serious about everything. I'm not spoofing at all, but I would like you to know I use these lighthearted terms because I am trying to keep the material accessible and not to be too intimidating with using lots of heavy language and lots of math and science and physics language. So yeah, I try, and also my personality is very lighthearted, and being joyous is part of one of the best ways we can fight against those evil occupiers of the interstices and the ones that want to prevent us from being able to find our higher faculties. Being joyful and being insouciant is part of that.
Nothing worse.
And the higher faculties are actually kind of psychedelic in nature. That's the best way to describe it. So it's a, you know, fun land. Understand that.
The joyous cosmology, as Alan Watts put it. There's nothing worse, of course, too, than people that take themselves too seriously. This really makes the world a real kind of lousy place to be, for sure. So if people were to lighten up a little bit, I think everyone would be a lot happier, and the human experience would be a lot more beneficial and positive and productive. So, but Corinne, I'm glad you jumped in.
We can say enlighten up then.
That's right. Well, and lighten the load, you know, lighten the, not just the light going off like the light bulb or sun in the sky, but the taking that weight off your shoulders and liberating yourself from everything that's kind of holding you down. And it's kind of, I think, part of
what George Harrison song did you quote earlier?
All Things Must Pass.
Wonderful.
Well, yeah, that's a basic Buddhist tenet too. Of course, it's the whole idea and principle of impermanence, which goes right back to the pre-Socratics as well too, the ancient Greeks. But Aurora, and I'm glad you jumped in there, Corinne, is there any just last closing remarks or things you'd like to share with us from the crow's nest? How are things looking up there, by the way? Any sign of the Kraken, or, you know, how's the weather? Has the rain died down a little?
Princess Aurora's magic came to our land, and now there is peace and a psychedelic pink all over the sky, and we can actually see the Batman symbol from here. It's really wonderful. And I would like to say a teaser for the premium hour, or the premium time coming up. I'm going to ask Aurora the difference between what we call physical aliens and physical space wars versus starseeds from Sirius like me, for example, and people that are interdimensional soul aliens, so to speak. And also, you know, how there is controversy now in the quote, quote, New Age community about blue avians and if Corey Good is some kind of CIA agent. So it's all very interesting these days.
I'm not sure if she's going to actually be able to stick around or make the Rogues Gallery into things because of her big move that she's right in the middle of at the moment. She's packed everything up and all set and ready to hit the road. So what do you think, Aurora? Are you going to be able to stick around for an hour during the Rogues Gallery, or how are things looking from your end?
I would absolutely love to pop into the Rogues Gallery because that topic that Corinne brought up is one that I feel strongly about, and I would like to have an opportunity to speak about it even for a bit. Thank you so much for understanding that I do have to get up early tomorrow and drive for 9 hours, so that is very important to get enough rest, but I'd love to come on and speak a little bit.
Oh, that's great. We're very much looking forward to it. So hopefully looks like probably a few people managing to find their way into the Rogues Gallery. I'm not sure. We usually gather at one of the local drinking establishments, although we can take a little stroll along the beach or the Pirate Cove here along the shores of Skullport Harbor, if that is a preferred course of action.
Yes, a lovely evening when the stars are out. The
stars are beautiful tonight, definitely. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about your experience and life out in New York, Woodstock, New York in particular, and along with a number of other things, including cancer. I know you've talked about that a little bit, and I'd like to ask you a little bit about baking soda, and as well as using cannabis, of course, too, and all kinds of other good things. But in the meantime, let's just quickly then one more time, your websites, I guess it's FlyingRainbowLasagna.com. Once again, your YouTube channel. What is the address where we can find you on YouTube?
It's literally channel Flying Rainbow Lasagna. A YouTube search for that should be very easy.
Absolutely, and I think we do have that here in the show notes. So thanks once again just to everyone who was a part of things today. We had up to, I think it was around 13 people there at one point checking things out live. Quite happy to have you join us. Thank you to Carol Sloan for making this all happen. Next week, of course, too, Satori D from Minds.com, the Infinite Imaginarium. We have a little bit of ayahuasca and a couple shamanist experts coming on for the last week of June as well. Thanks once again to both of you, Corinne and our feature guest, of course, Aurora, for making today's presentation happen. We'll see you all in the back end of things here in the Rogues Gallery just in a few moments. Aye now, thar we be. Having carefully looked over each of our navigation panel instruments, checking every level, switch, knob, and dial, by all accounts and indications, we indeed see it's time once again to drop anchor inside the bay and draw an end to another week of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Don't forget, if you're looking for a little more free-flowing action, we've likely got another great Rogues Gallery after show coming up next in either Google Hangouts or Skype. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the shows we've tirelessly produced over the past 16 or so odd months, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. Missouri-based podcaster and fellow Minds.com personality Innerverse recently decided to take a chance on throwing us a bone. Along with virtual Buccaneers Kelly Freeman and Carol Sloan, that now brings our official number of patrons up to 3. Presently commanding a whole 6 big ones per episode, our impeachable longshoreman math skills tell us we're on course this year to set aside around $150 in charity. Help to keep those numbers growing over on Patreon, and we'll be able to extend even more of a generous pirate hand. Coming up next week, same time as always, we have what's shaping up to be a total day of discord, with Minds.com's Satori D scheduled to join us in discussing the Infinite Imaginarium Project and more. So South American-based ayahuasca and shaman experts Peter Gorman and Alan Shoemaker will be rounding things out on the night of the 30th for what's proving to be an all-too-trippy month of June. If you yourself have an intriguing idea for a guest or story, you can either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN.com network subdomain links are also now available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, social media personalities, or pretty much just any landlubber looking to boost their online visibility, presence, and reach. Basic accounts can be launched for only $15 a year. Staking your claim now helps not only strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are redirected right back into the hands of the people who really need it most. Community charity. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own personal pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, sharing, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho!